Years ago, this young man was struggling to find himself. He was having identity issues, and he was in his early mid 20s, and he decided, for whatever reason, that he would find himself in India. And so he went to India, and he was I'm not exactly sure what he did there, except pick up a case of hepatitis. He found hepatitis, and but he decided, after he'd been there for several weeks, that maybe India, he's not going to find what he's looking for in India, because this was in the mid 1980s. And I don't know what it's like now, but back then, I think it was the Sikhs and the Hindus weren't getting along so well, and they were blowing each other up. And he got kind of tired of leaving his apartment in the mornings and finding body parts along the street from the previous night's fireworks. And he decided, you know, Oregon isn't so bad. I think maybe I could find myself there if I really try. So, but our identity is important to us. It's so important that we spend a lot of time and energy and money defining and finding and defining ourselves. And there's lots of tools available to us to work through the process of finding yourself. You can take the Myers-Briggs type indicator. You ever take that one? I took that one. I couldn't tell you the results. I think it proved I'm alive, I think. There's the Strengths Finder, and there's lots of other personality tests and spiritual gift assessments. And, you know, before I go on, I guess what I want to do is read our scripture. It's in Romans 6, starting at verse 3. So just take everything I've said up to this point and press the pause button as we read Romans 6, starting at verse 3. Paul is encouraging the believers. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we could no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let no sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you. Did you get that? Sin will have no dominion over you. since you are not under law, but under grace. We know that that self-identity is an important development marker in early adolescence. If you think back to those days, Drew is there now. My boys were there a few years back. Those days when you're just trying to figure out, who am I? Where do I fit in? And I remember going through those days, trying different clothes styles, different music styles, different activities. Where do I fit in? Who am I? And it was tough for me because I came from a family of great musicians and athletic athletes and people who were redundant. So I'm just like, well, I'm not a great musician. I'm not a great athlete. Who am I? And those were tough days. I hated junior high. Man, I absolutely hated junior high. Cried every day, it seemed. It was miserable for me. But just trying to find, who am I? And then we get a little older and we hit middle-aged and we have another identity crisis. Well, who am I now? And, you know, these last several months, who am I? I'm no longer a husband. I'm still a dad, but my sons are full grown and, you know, they don't need me like they used to. Who am I? So I go out and buy sports cars, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when you're having an identity crisis. I need a toupee and dye my beard so I look younger, right? Yeah, get the thumbs up.
You buy a new truck.
I buy a new truck, yeah.
It's pretty quick.
That's the
In our scripture passage today, it's really one about our identity, our true identity. But where we usually point to personality traits and interests and things that we do to be markers of our identity, Paul points us somewhere else. Paul points us to our baptism. He calls believers to remember their baptism and proclaims that this initiating sacrament into the body of Christ, this act of grace, this is identified as this being identified as one who belongs to Jesus. This, in fact, is the core identity of who we are in Christ. It's similar to having a parent tell a child to remember the family name. Remember who you are. I think of the parable of the prodigal son. And you remember when he comes back home, the father puts a ring on his finger. That ring most likely had a family emblem, a family crest that identified him as a member of that family. This is an appropriate reminder for us in the season of Lent because at the core of the work of Lent is to remember our identity, the stripping away of sin and the distractions in our lives, the dying to our old self, and once again reaffirm our identity in Christ. Baptism, there's a practical symbolism in the death of Christ in baptism that we see. There's an act of surrender in our baptism. Water is either poured over someone or someone is immersed in the water, which not only shows a washing away, a cleansing, but is also symbolic of dying, of being buried in going under the water. And then that person is then raised up out of the water to what is supposed to be a new life, a life that is filled with resurrection power through the Holy Spirit. It's important to remember that as we are called to be baptized, that Jesus also was baptized, as John read from the Gospel of John earlier. The act of baptism unites us with the mission of God in the world. Jesus was baptized at the beginning of his public ministry, showing that he was joining the mission of God in the world. His role changed from that of being a common laborer to being God's ambassador and fulfilling God's will for his life. The act of Jesus' baptism was one of identity. When Jesus was baptized, his identity as the Son of God was cemented in this moment when we see the Trinity appearing right there. We hear the voice of God the Father declare Jesus as his Son, and then the Holy Spirit descending on him as a dove. And again, in the passage that John read in John chapter 1, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he proclaims Jesus' identity as the Messiah. And being united in the death of Christ gives us identity as well. We are dying to our sin. Often baptismal vows include forsaking the life of sin in order to illustrate the ways that baptism and death to sin are connected. This dying to sin is a death to selfishness. Selfishness is the root of, I believe, it's the root of all sin. Our focus is no longer on love of self and what's best for me, but our focus rather then turns to love for God and love for others. Dying to sin also means joining in the new restorative mission in the world. As baptism marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it often marks the beginning of ours as well. A large point that Paul is making here is that dying to sin is equal to dying to legalism, that living by a set of standards of do's and don'ts that's so easy to fall into. Been thinking about this a lot lately. Been cleaning out desks and things and finding stuff from my college days. And the one thing from my college day that sticks out the most was that Bible college was where I learned to become a Pharisee. I was good at being a Pharisee. I just hated that. I hated that part about it. I had all this knowledge crammed in my brain, but you know, it took years for it to get to my heart. And so I would sit in church and I would just critique my pastor as he preached, and I apologized to him years afterward. And I saw him, we were talking, and this came to me, and I said, "Brother, I gotta apologize. I was terrible, man." And I would get this. I would go, "Thank you for not doing this to me, by the way. You're welcome to. I mean, if it's bad, if it's egregious, please do." But I would go to his office that week, and I would say, "Okay, on Sunday you said this, when it's really this," and I would nitpick him. And he would sit there and he just had this grin on his face and goes, "Yeah, okay. It's like, "Man, thanks for not shooting me or something." I was bad. I was bad. See, I lost my place. Dying to legalism. Thank God. Focus. We need to focus on who we are called to be and who we are becoming in Christ. However, for the early Christians listening to this, there was a good possibility for a very real death as well. Not just death to legalism, but death in our life, in your very life. The way of the cross that Paul laid out for the people was one of suffering. And while most of this passage is metaphorical and speaking to the death of sin, there's also an overwhelming sense that the people who would read this and know that joining in Christ would could call for their lives being laid down for others in much the same way. Being united in Christ's death means being united in Christ's resurrection. And this is the glory that we cannot miss. It's not about how to die so much as it is how to live in this resurrection life that we have. Because of the resurrection, we don't fear death. We can sing songs like we did, "I would rise when he calls my name," because we have that faith, we have that assurance that when we do die, it's all good. It's all good. The church is a body of believers who do not fear death because of the resurrection. The fear of death made us slaves to death. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says that through death, Jesus destroyed the power, destroyed the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. Verse 15, he says he delivers those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. The devil is destroyed, death is destroyed. We no longer need to fear death. We no longer need to be slaves to that fear. So when we follow Christ, even in the face of the most difficult obstacles, this is an important reminder, identifier for the members of the early church who often faced death for saying Jesus is Lord rather than Caesar is Lord. This is important for the global church today because many people are killed for much the same reason. This is important for us, even if we don't face physical death for following Jesus, because there's times, there will be times when it will be difficult for us to follow Christ. I know several people who have, in following Christ, has created rifts in families, where they are ignored by family members because they choose to follow Christ. I know of people who have been passed over for job promotions because they won't go along with the boss when he says to bend the rules or to cover the books or something like that. When they stand, no, that's, we got to be righteous. We got to be upfront and honest. Because of the lack of fear and hope in the resurrection, the church is able to sow seeds of resurrection in the most difficult places of the world. Many places in our world are darkened by violence and poverty and disease and despair. And as a people who identify with the resurrection, we're able to go boldly to these places and to offer hope. And we can be instruments of righteousness in the world. As we look back on the history of the church, we find several, dozens and dozens, there are hundreds of examples of where Christians made a difference. We can go back to toward the end of the Roman Empire when it was known that Christians stood out from the crowd because they chose to stay behind and care for plague victims rather than flee from the towns that were afflicted. You may have heard of Father Damien, a Catholic priest who ministered to those who had leprosy on the island of Molokai in Hawaii. And he served them. And he took care of them. And he eventually contracted the disease himself and died in 1889. And these examples and millions of others are all reflective of the way that Christ left heaven to die the death of a common criminal for us. That forsaking of our own comfort, that letting go of me and letting God through his resurrection power live through us and take us to places that so desperately need the light of Christ. There's a hopeful optimism that death, in all of the ways that it can reveal itself, does not have the final word in the end. Hope should be a part of our identity. We hope for the resurrection we hope for the restoration and resurrection of all things. The resurrection that God brings about in us is the work of God, and he wants to bring it to all people. Our call is to go into the world and to make disciples of others and to baptize others, which means we're inviting them to come into this resurrection life also. We have hope that even the worst of the world will be renewed through the resurrection power. We have hope for freedom from sin. And this is a big part of Paul's message here, that we are no longer trapped in a cycle of sin, but we are freed from it. Praise God. Praise God that he does not leave us trapped in our sin. Through the resurrection, we can be free from the power of sin in our lives. Was it John Wesley who wrote, Charles Wesley, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Our identity is seen clearly in our baptism, being united in Christ's death and resurrection. This passage in Romans speaks of things that can be competing. We know people who use their personality as an excuse for sin. You ever heard this? I get my anger issues from my mom. You ever heard that? Or something similar? Well, I'm Irish, so you can expect me to fly off the handle, right? Irish.
I'm Irish, I drink.
Well, you can't use that excuse in Christ. It doesn't work.
I'm German, Scotland.
You can't use that excuse in Christ. It doesn't work. Any other confessions? Let's open the altar. Some refuse to live in the hope of conquering sin and instead to lead lives trapped in the same repetitive cycles. And they say things like, "Well, I guess I'll be stuck with this sin for the rest of my life." That's not the promise of Christ. Some people define themselves by their past choices, even after coming to Christ and changing. And instead of walking in freedom of Christ, they're stuck in the past. They're stuck by their past choices. And they often say things like, "Oh, God could never completely forgive me for all that I've done." Oh, folks, these are all lies of the devil. These are all lies that keep us trapped and anchored to the past, to our sin. And that's not who we are in Christ. What's he say? Sin will have no dominion over you. Sin will have no dominion over you. You don't have to sin.
Praise God.
Praise God. In Christ. Our ultimate identity is found in Christ. Embracing this identity leads to freedom. The defining characteristic is grace. A focus on grace instead of works. Those with an identity rooted in Christ join the mission of God in the world through lives lived as instruments of righteousness. Jesus, crucified and risen. In him we have our identity. He calls us to be united with him in his suffering and death, that we may also know the power of his resurrection. Power over sin and over death. Power that gives us boldness to look into the darkest places in this world and enter those places with words of hope and power. Let's take the time in this coming week to remember our baptism, to remember who we are, to join the mission of God in this world as we're transformed day by day to look more and more like Christ. Remember who you are. If you have not been baptized, let's talk. It's been a while since we've done a baptism service, and as the weather warms up, we can start thinking about doing that. So, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your